why are things so funny or even more funny when you're not supposed to be laughing? Have you ever noticed that? So just a few moments ago, it's my responsibility on what happened to Jared. I got my Lord's Supper cup and I got that, and I am by no means trying to be funny about the Lord's Supper. You know as well as I do, that's very, very serious. But I almost played basketball. I was trying to call myself breaking the cracker a little bit more. And then when I did, the cup went from one hand to the other, to the knee, to the floor. And so I caught it with Jared looking, of course, and I got tickled, then he got tickled, and then the more I was watching him, the more I was laughing. So anyway, I want to apologize if I disrespected. It was not that at all, but I just totally lost it. That happened to me at a cemetery once before. As a funeral professional, I'm at the cemetery, and something happened. I won't say what it was, but anyway, I was losing it. And I was looking down, I had my toes pushing into the ground to where it was painful, thinking that would stop me. But then I looked to my left, and the funeral director that was there was already turning color where he was laughing, and I fell apart and got rolled up, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so now I work down here at Walmart. If you need a cart, you know, I've got it for you. But anyway, let's go to the Lord once again in prayer, and then we'll begin our lesson this morning. Please bow. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we are in awe of. You're an awesome God, and we love you so much. We're thankful, Father above, for what you've given to us, what you've got on loan to us. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful, Father, for the way you've demonstrated your love for each and every one of us by sending Jesus to die upon that old rugged cross. Father, we're thankful for the avenue of prayer. We're just so thankful, Father, that we can come to you to let our requests be known, to offer thanksgiving, to offer praises, and to do the things, Father, you call us to do. And Father, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to come together here in this building of comfort here at James Avenue. And we are thankful that you've allowed this congregation to exist. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to be with us. May we continue to have an effect on the community and the lives of each and every one that's here. We pray, Father, that everything that we say and do here will be in line and conducive with what you would have us to do according to your word. We pray, Father, a special way that you be with all that have been mentioned, being sick and shut in. But Father, this morning we pray that you be with those that are spiritually ill. We pray that you'll watch over them. We pray, Father, that you will spare them, if it's your will, here upon this earth long enough that they may come to know you before it's everlastingly too late. Father, we're thankful for the young folks of this congregation as well as each member that they have put other things aside to come here to worship you, Father, to give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you so richly deserve. We're thankful for the cross and what it represents to each of us in our life today. Father, we ask you to watch over us and forgive us of our sins. This prayer is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As followers of God, as students of his awesome word, and as lovers of Jesus Christ, as faithful, obedient children of Almighty God, what is it, and let me ask the question, what is it that we see when we take a stand back and we begin to look at the cross of Jesus Christ? What do you see today? When you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross that our Heavenly Father died upon, what is it that you see when you open your eyes and you physically look at the cross? Sadly, as our generation of people today look at the cross, they either do one of two things. Either we cherish the cross, as the old song says, we cherish the old wooden cross, or we reject it. We do one of the two things. Either we are all about the cross and we're all about what Jesus did for us, or we're rejecting the cross and we're looking lightly upon it, and we just continue to do what the world and worldly people would call us to do. When our Savior Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, there were different people that was gathered around, and some of those people saw different things. When Jesus Christ was a man that was being put to death with and among the criminals, and Jesus was indeed treated as a criminal, wasn't he? As a matter of fact, not only treated as a criminal, he was put to death as a criminal. He was put to death as if he was loaded with sin. And you know what? This is going to shock you, and he was loaded with sin. But not his sin, but my sin. He carried my sin. He carried my iniquity. He carried my shortcomings. He carried my guilt, your sin. He carried it all the way to that cruel cross at Calvary, didn't he? So it warrants the question today, what do we see when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ? What is it that we're seeing when we do that? I've told you before in a lesson similar to this that there is a message that comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that today? So when we look at the cross, let it be a reminder of several different things. I am convinced that if we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, I believe, and I know that you will too, that we can learn a lot. I believe that you and I can learn some undeniable lessons that come from that cross. As we approach our points in our lesson today, let me remind you and myself to look further than what we talked about before. I want you to not dismiss it, but I want you to look further than the bloodstains from Jesus Christ that you see on that cross. And then I want you to go a little bit further and look further than what those nails that were in that cross that held his feet and his hands in place. I want you to look further than the ropes that was tied to Jesus Christ that held him and separated his body so much as he suffered on that cruel cross at Calvary. For you and for me, he did that. For your sin and my sin, he did that. How much sin did Jesus have? None. But yet he was loaded with sin, wasn't he? Because he carried our guilt. He carried our eternity to that cruel cross at Calvary. What do you see when you're looking at that cross today? I want us to look a little bit further. And I want us to see that as we look at the cross, I want us to see the sinless dying for the sinful. Is that all right? I want us to see how he, Jesus, took those beatings. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was brutally attacked, wasn't he? And he did it because of sin, our sin. He did it because of love. His love for us. And God did that. He put his son through that. Not because he wanted to see his son in anger and all that and see his son in danger and see his son in all those situations in agony rather. But he did it because of his love that he has for you and for me. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, if you look with me at those 12 verses, I want you to, let's go back. That's about 700 years before Jesus was actually crucified. Well, let's take a look and see what was going on there. Is everybody there? You ready to be engaged in it? The Bible says, who has believed our report, and to whom, watch this, of the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry what? He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The Bible says he is, and also by men, he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not even what? Esteem him, the Bible says. Go to 4. Surely he has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken. He was smitten by God, the Bible says, and afflicted. Go to 5. But he was wounded, the Bible says, he was wounded for whose transgressions? He was bruised for whose iniquities? And the chastisement of whose peace was upon him? Ours. And by his stripes, who's healed? We are healed. Go to 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, we turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of who? Us all. Are y'all getting this? So you see that Jesus has not done anything wrong. We did. Amen? This is all about what Jesus is doing for us. Go to 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Could he have opened his mouth? Could he have called legions, 10,000 angels, to come and get him off the cross? Absolutely. Opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Go to 8. He was taken, the Bible says. He was taken from prison, from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, the Bible says, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked. Did y'all notice that? Jesus Christ, this perfect individual, this perfect gift from God, and yet, watch what the Bible says. And they made his grave with who? The wicked. He was being crucified between two criminals, wasn't he? Being punished between two criminals. Being treated as if he was a criminal. And all he was doing was loving us. Amen. Fulfilling the requirements of his dad, of his father. Watch this. But they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence. The Bible says, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Go to 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be what? He shall be what? Satisfied. Go with me. Let's keep going. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him. Watch this. I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul even unto death. So he gave his life for you, didn't he? And for me, for our sin. Watch this. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and I love this part, and made intercession for the what? The transgressors. The Bible says that he made intercession for the transgressors. Who are the transgressors today? We are. What did Jesus do for us? Died for us. Can we say it like we appreciate it? He died for us. So when we think about what was going on there and he made intercession for us, I'm thankful today, and we all should be, seriously speaking, we should be hitting our knees on a daily basis thanking God for what he's doing. Amen? We should be on our knees constantly saying, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. Thank you for him taking my place upon that cruel cross at Calvary. Thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus has made, the sacrifice that you made by sending Jesus to die for all of us. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, I promised you when I first came here that I'm going to try to get these two passages, these two verses in every lesson I do. I've tried to do it. I may have missed a few. But Romans 5, 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet. And then we hit John 3:16. For God so loved us that he gave his only, that whosoever believes in him, but have what? Do you like the promise in that passage of Scripture? Now the only way, brothers and sisters, that we can have that everlasting life that you're seeing in John 3:16 is by recognizing and knowing what that cross meant. Amen? Not the wooden part, not the part where it was like this, but what was on that cross. Let's go a little further. Who was on that cross? Amen? What was on the cross? It was the perfect lamb offering, wasn't it? Who was on that cross? It was Jesus Christ. Well, who is that? The Son of Almighty God. A perfect, sinless one who took on the sins of the world and carried it away so that you and I can have that forgiveness. Are you liking it right now or not? So, brothers and sisters, when we look at the cross, what do we see? Let me give you 3 points this morning, 3 things to consider when we look at the title of our lesson, when we look at the cross. The first point I want us to examine is this. When I stand back, I individually, you're going to have to answer this for yourself, but when I stand back and I seriously look at the cross that Jesus died on, it reminds me that sin has a price, doesn't it? Do we agree today that when we sin, when we fall short, when we miss the mark, there's a price to pay? Do you agree with that? Thankfully, Jesus has paid that price, but we cannot continue in sin when we know right from wrong, can we? So if we continue to practice sin, you remember what was just read to us from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26? If we sin willfully after knowing the right and wrong, there no longer remains a what? Say that like you mean it. A sacrifice for our sins. That means what? You're not going to make a mockery out of Jesus. Amen? You're not going to make a mockery out of the cross of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand this and remember that sin has a price. Many want to believe that everything today is just permissible by God. You know, that God is a God of love and he would never want to send anyone to hell and God would never want to send his own creation to hell. Yes, he will. He doesn't want to. Matter of fact, at one time he even overlooked sin. Did y'all know that? Some would say, Jerry, don't you dare stand there and preach that. Well, I'm going to show you what the Bible says about that over in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 30. He didn't like sin, didn't want sin, didn't permit sin, but sin happened, didn't it? Just like today, sin happens. Amen? But watch what the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. God's word says, truly these times of ignorance, God overlooked. But now what does he do? He commands how many men? Does that mean the male person only? No, he's talking about the generation of people. He's talking about all men, every one of us. What does the Bible tell us to do? He commands all men everywhere to do what? To repent. What's he saying? He's simply saying you'd better turn from your way and go my way. Amen? Because we have to remember that sin has a price, does it not? Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5. Those passages of Scripture says, I tell you nay, but unless you repent, you will all likewise what? Perish. You know what that word perish means? It's not just a physical death, it's a spiritual death. It's being separated from God, where you're going to be cast away into outer darkness, where you're going to be separated from Almighty God, where your prayers will never be heard again. Are you getting that? So understand that there is a price for sin. God will not permit sin to continue in our lives. Sure, I don't want to discourage you and I don't want to mislead you. Sure, we're going to sin. We're going to fall short. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of who? But let us be reminded what 6:23 of Romans says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. And I don't want that death. Do you want that death? So the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That means there's a price for sin, and it is death. Death reigns this very day because of sin. Did you know that? If you go back to the very beginning of time in the book of Genesis chapter 3, I didn't list those up there, but in the book of Genesis chapter 3, we know that sin started out with Adam and Eve, didn't it? And then we know that sin began to permeate itself when two brothers was in the field together. One rose up against the other, and he did what to him? He killed his own brother in a fit of jealousy and rage, did he not? And then we know that death reigns this very day because of sin. So let me encourage you in every way that I can to be aware of our sin, to watch what's going on in our own life, to be sure that we're well aware of our shortcomings. Friends, listen to me. God will forgive us of our sins, but if we intentionally continue to sin, again, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, there no longer remains a sacrifice for that sin. Sadly, some people in our world today, some people believe that God will just kind of overlook some sin. Let me be very clear when I convey this message to you. God will not overlook sin. Do you understand that? He never has, and he never will. Will he forgive us of our sins if we have a repentant heart? Absolutely. Can we come to him living under his grace, love, and mercy and forgiveness? Absolutely. Jesus didn't die in vain. But if we continue to practice sin and we continue to go against the will of God, do you think he's going to allow us to mock him? Do you think he's going to allow us to put Jesus on that cruel cross at Calvary in vain? Absolutely not. That's his son. Amen. Are y'all with me or not? Okay, let me show you something. In Matthew chapter 25, around verse 46. Let me show you this. Some people, as I say, just believe that God will overlook sin, that he'll just kind of sweep it under a cloud or something, but that's not what he's going to do. Friends, that's just not true. God will not tolerate intentional sin. Matthew 25, verse 46, the Bible says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, the Bible says, into what? Eternal life. For those that are offended today by his word, for those that are upset regarding conviction from his word, many of these individuals hire preachers and they hire teachers that will teach and preach what they want to hear. Did you know that that happens today? There was a guy in the Bible, he was a young preacher, his name was Timothy, and some people was despising him, if I may, because of his youth. Paul was encouraging him, saying, don't let that happen. Don't let people despise your youth. You keep on keeping on. He says, you just keep on preaching. Over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you look at verses 2 and 3, I'm going to share this with you. But there's a great number of people today, a great number of people that call themselves preachers and ministers and teachers that are not teaching directly from the Word of God. Why? Because they're doing that for a living. I want to thank my Heavenly Father today. I don't preach for a living. Amen. I'm thankful today that I can stand up here without fear of persecution. It doesn't really matter what anybody says, whether they like me or don't like me. I'm working for God. Amen. I am working for my Heavenly Father. And the Bible says, preach the word. Larry, not part of the word, not the word that tickles people's ears, not a word that doesn't offend. But if I read or when I read the Bible and I study the Bible, I walk out of my own office at home convicted. Sometimes I walk out mad. Have you ever been like that? Be honest. Don't be lying. And when I read it, I'm like, I didn't know this. And then I've got it. Then it warrants a change. And then I'm really ticked off because I didn't think this habit that I had was that bad. And I'm like, well, I'm not supposed to be doing what I'm doing. And then I begin to pout. And then I begin to go in phase two of my pouting process. Then I go into phase three where I have to eat more and drink more. And that's not a bad situation. But the reality is the Word of God convicts us. And these congregations today that wants to dismiss preachers for preaching the truth, that's the biggest compliment that any preacher could ever have. Do y'all realize that? You preach what the Bible says and it offended some people, you're fired. Thank you so much. That's a perfect, perfect thing for a preacher, for it to happen to a preacher. And it happened a long time ago. 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3, the Bible says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. That's not talking about fall and winter. Do you know what this is talking about? Okay, you don't. All right, it means to be ready to preach in favorable conditions and unfavorable conditions. When people want to hear it and people that don't want to hear it. Your job, Timothy, your job, preacher, your job, and every one of you are preachers. Do y'all realize that? You're preaching something and you preached today already to those that are about you, to people in your families. You're preaching the importance of church attendance. You're preaching the importance of bowing your head in prayer. You're preaching and teaching the importance of partaking the Lord's Supper and singing and making melody in your heart, Ephesians 5:19. You're singing and you're preaching and you're teaching, doing all these things, giving back to the Lord as you've been prospered. Are y'all getting this? So we are all preachers, aren't we? So preach the truth, brothers and sisters. Go with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and go with me to verses 1 and 2. When we talk about sin, and you agree with me that sin has a price? All right. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, this is a huge price. Are y'all ready? Behold the Lord's hand, watch this. Behold the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. If there's a separation between you and God, who moved? God didn't move, did he, Teresa? We did. The Bible says, but your iniquities, your sin, your corruption, your evil doing, your shortcomings. The Bible says your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins, look at this. He's talking to me, isn't he? He says, Jerry, your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Some will say, well, that's Old Testament days. Wait, maybe you better go visit John 9:31, where the Bible says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Well, somebody's going to say, well, what in the world? You telling me that God ain't going to hear my prayers? That's exactly what I'm telling you. John 9:31, the Bible says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Let me finish it up, though. But if... As the Dow said, sin, here come Larry. What happened here?
It died.
It died. All right, we can embalm this in about 2 seconds. Anybody have a cannula and a trocar? And all right. This has been a little bit disruptive service today with me dropping crackers, playing basketball during the Lord's Supper. Please forgive, folks. All right, let's go to our second point. Can y'all hear me now? Y'all, could y'all hear me before? Maybe that's why y'all wasn't answering me earlier. Like, okay, so your second point, seriously speaking, when we look at the cross, we see that not only does sin have a price, but sin has a destiny, doesn't it? There is a destination for sin. Where is sin going to carry you if you're unforgiven? It's going to carry us to hell. There's no nicer way to put it. We better start telling the truth. People today, these preachers today that want to be politically correct, I don't give a rat's ear about being politically correct. I want to be scripturally correct. Amen? I want to be what the Bible says. I don't care if you're offended. I don't care if I get offended. I don't care if my wife gets offended. I don't care who it is. If you're offended, I've done my job. When I get offended at my own preaching, that's pretty bad, isn't it? But the reality is, that means I'm the one not doing right. The scripture's always right. I'm the one in violation if I'm offended by it. I'm the one that's not doing the right thing. So I shouldn't be aggravated at the scripture. I shouldn't be aggravated at God. I should be saying, thank you, God, for revealing this to me. Thank you, God, for letting me see this in your word. Now I can get that straightened out and wait on the next trouble to come up, right? Okay. So sin has a destiny. Listen to me. Hell is a real place. Do you understand that? Hell is not a fairy tale that's going to end with a happy ending. It's not like that. Hell is a prepared place for unprepared people. The Bible describes hell as a lake of fire. Let's go back to the book of Matthew real quick. The book of Matthew, and I can never find that. Is it old, new? All right, man. So if we're looking at Matthew chapter 18, and we look at verses 8 and 9, I want us to get a good picture of what's happening here. For the people who say, now, does everybody here believe Jesus? All right, just want to make sure. I was going to see if I catch anybody. Look at Ethan over there with his deep voice. All right, Ethan, you believe in Jesus? Very good. All right, I had to get somebody. Poor Ethan was just looking down, so I had to get him. All right, Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 and 9. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, do what with it? I don't know if that means literally. I'll leave that up to y'all. And cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life, lame or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet. Now watch this. To be cast into the what? Fire. So that tells me, Jesus is telling us that hell is real, isn't it? It's not a made up place. It's not just something that's used for correction. Well, go to 9. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be, watch this, to be cast into, give me the next couple of words. That's right, Courtney, to be cast in to hell fire. So we know that it's real. You can consider over in the book of Revelation, chapter 20,
verses 14 and 15, and read about what that passage of Scripture says about hell. We can also know that hell is eternal. According to Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, hell is real, is it not? And it's eternal. Hell is for the wicked, and hell is prepared for those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and you look at verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, in flaming, taking on those who do. Okay, do not obey who? All right, that does not obey God. If we're going against God, if we're going against His Word, you need to listen to me. In flaming fire. Do you get that? Taking vengeance. I'm not taking the vengeance, and we're not taking the vengeance. God is. Do we get it? So you either obey the gospel of Jesus Christ or realize this and remember this, that sin has a destiny, and the destiny is hell, isn't it? All right, so your sin has a destiny. So when you and I look at the cross, we should be fully reminded that sin is real and it is extremely dangerous. It has a price and sin has a destiny, and its destiny is hell. So we should be today saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving us Christians from that horrible place called hell and its eternal horror. Amen? Because it is eternal. We should be staying, if I may, up on our knees, constantly thanking God, thanking Him daily for what He has done. Sin has its destiny, but righteousness does too. When I think about John chapter 14, I think about verses 2 and 3, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many. And He says, if it wasn't, He said, I would have what? And then He says, I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to what? I'm going to come again and receive you to that where I am, what? There you'll be also. So do you see the blessed assurance there? Darlene, He's telling us, I'm coming back for you, didn't He? So, yes, we know that sin has a destiny, but so does righteousness. So I don't want to just beat us up about this sin. I want to encourage us that by living for Jesus, by putting Christ on, by looking at that cross on a daily basis, we can have that place that's being prepared. Does that make sense to you? Thank you, God, for being so awesome. All right, the third and final point in this lesson will go home with you. When we look at the cross, I want you to remember this. If you don't get anything else out of the lesson today, remember this. When we look at the cross, we can see that sin has a cure. Y'all like that? Sin has a cure. And the cure is the blood of Jesus Christ. Very good. There is nothing on this earth that is made by the hands of mankind. There's nothing that we can say, nothing that we can do that will cure the deadly disease of sin. It can only be cured by the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of Almighty God. Amen. So I want to make sure we get that. Sin is a nasty, nasty cancer of our soul. And you know what it does? It eats at us at a little bit, just a little bit at a time. Sin will creep into our life just a little. Sometimes we notice it, sometimes we don't. Maybe I start saying a few words that I shouldn't say. That's how I got in that habit of abusive language. Maybe somebody starts drinking just a little at a time. Maybe just a social drink. But that's all right if that's what you want to do. But then, could it permeate itself? Could it grow into a habit? I remember as a child in the backyard, Mom and Dad had this old washing machine back there, and I thought, well, I'm going to try to sell parts off this thing. And I cut my hand back there, and I remember I cussed like a sailor. My mama said, I never thought you even heard those words before. And that's where it started. And and Dad thought it was hilarious. Mom, after my lip went down, after my mom popped me, then Dad thought it was funny, which it wasn't that funny. And then after that, I just began to grow. Sin snuck in a little bit at a time, didn't it? And then just like when I started smoking my Winston cigarettes, everybody else had to have Viceroy and Marlboro, the one with the cowboy, and the one that says, I walked a mile for this Camel. John, your daddy tried to get me to smoke a Camel one time, and I did, and I puked for an hour. So I went back and started smoking my Winstons, but I was only doing it on an occasion, and then before long, I was hooked. I was buying a pack and a half a day. Are y'all getting the picture? We got to be careful because the devil will sneak in just a little at a time. I didn't know that that little language issue that I had with that washing machine in Mom and Dad's backyard would still be haunting me at 59 years old. Now you can go in your mind think, well, Jerry, that's easy to stop. Just don't say it. I'm just not that strong yet. Do you get that? I'm still relying, put all my reliance on God, and He's getting me there. It's a slow process, but we're getting there. Do you have any sin in your lives? Are you working on them? Did it just click one day, I think I'm just going to be this kind of sinner? No. Did it sneak in? Sin is sneaking in today through the electronic world, isn't it? Social media. I had to talk to Jay a while ago, not putting him on the spot. Walked in the door, straight to a chair, boom, right on thing. Never said hello, never said hi, never said bye. No, hi, Papa, how are you? Glad you're alive. Wish you were dead. Nothing. Not trying to be mean, but the reality is, smile, look up. You talking about scoliosis? These kids today, when they get older, like my age, every child is going to be look like they're looking for dimes on the sidewalk. Because they never look up. They're going to have big things on their head when they run into poles. You know why? Because they never look up. You know, exercise, back when I was a kid, you know, we got outside and we chased each other. When mom and dad wasn't home, we chased each other with rakes and shovels. So, you know, whoever's in front ran really hard. Dana come out there and locked us out of a gate one time. Don't let me get started on that. We got to go. I need to get back in the yard, in the backyard. Mom and dad, I'll tell you quickly, told us, do not leave this backyard. Dana had a key. I said, I'm going to sneak out for a little bit. Let me back. We had this gate on the side of the house. Clarence Jr. back there locked me out and went in the house. You can't climb it because it had those little points on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Me being clumsy, it would have split me in half, Chris. So Dana punked me out. Anyway, let me get back to it. I'm now mad at Dana. The reality is sin sneaks in a little at a time, doesn't it? Don't let it have its way with you. Sin's destroyed nations. It's separated nations, hasn't it? It destroyed kings, hasn't it? Friendships have been dissolved because of some sin, hasn't it? Congregations in the Lord's churches have been dissolved because of sin. Families that don't even speak to each other anymore, that is pathetic because of sin, isn't it? Sin is a destroyer, yes? But thankfully, listen to this, as strong as sin is, I got a God that's even more mightier than sin. Amen? And He can take care of that, and He will take care of it. We know according to the Scriptures that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from sin. 1 John 1:7. We know according to Ephesians 1:7 that the blood of Jesus Christ redeems us. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, we can know that His blood sets us apart. The Bible said it sanctifies us. It sets us apart from the rest of the world, from those that are without Jesus Christ. Yes, when I look at the cross, I did see death, the death of an innocent man. But now when I look at the cross, after I did this lesson, now I see life for every one of us. And I can say that an honest thing. When I began the lesson, I kept thinking about when I look at the cross, I see death. By the time I got through with the lesson, I'm like, now I see life. I have an opportunity to be an heir of the kingdom of heaven. Only because of Jesus Christ. Only because of God's love. And only because of my faithful obedience to Jesus Christ. Amen? It's nothing you're saying, nothing you're doing. You can't work and perform a multitude of alms to get there. It is only by the grace, love, and forgiveness of our Savior Jesus Christ. When you look at the cross today, what do you see? Again, the cross is not a fairy tale. It's a true thing that happened to Jesus Christ. Hell is real and it's horror, but so is heaven. And it's a beautiful, prepared place for prepared people. I trust today that you're prepared. If you're not, let me encourage you to get prepared because there is a judgment day coming. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says it is appointed once for man to die, but after this, the judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. So today, as we close our lesson, let me ask you this question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it's not, you're going to be cast to hell. If it is, you're going to be accepted into heaven. The choice is yours. If you are not a Christian, now is the time to become one. Hear His Word. Do you believe that I gave it to you from the Scripture today? Does everybody believe that? So I gave it to you from the Bible. Not my idea, but what God says. So you have to hear God's Word, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, live faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you're a Christian, you kind of wandered off from the fold of safety. You still, you know, you're trying, but you're still just not quite there. You need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us know. We'll pray with you, for you, help you any way that we can. If you're subject to the invitation, you're invited to come right now. It's together.